The girl could sing. I mean, she was good. And she had, she had lots of girls with her.
Sure.
Lots of girls. And at the time that the Club Coco was going, she had a couple of her girls and they were working. See? They had that secret room in there, you know, if you remember about that. Because we used it too.
No, I was in the Club Coco, but I never knew about the secret room.
Yeah, we had that all fixed up.
Okay.
Tapes right underneath the bed.
So you recorded what went
everything,
on?
And names. With judges, lawyers.
Holy shit.
Why do you think none of us got anything out of that?
We did any kind of...
Should we turn this over? Judge Kelly? We can write down the list. It's hot stuff.
Okay.
So anyhow...
I knew the bathrooms were bugged.
Well, you don't even know
the
room. There was a room there.
I didn't know
there was a
room
there. Sure. It was,
Holy crap.
Right behind, as you go in this way, you know, the kitchen was here.
Yeah.
Back here, between that kitchen and there, it's like a wall, but in there was a room that was
right.
A half bed in there. Chair.
I see. And after that was the bathrooms, because on the left side
right.
Was that little, like, a mezzanine where you could sit
mm-hmm.
up, it was up a couple stairs.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, Jerry would go in there to check on her girls. And,
Well, you provided girls for that room for
right.
People.
Right. And this is when it was open, straight plays. That's how we got the lawyers.
I see. Okay.
It was good clientele. That was a nightclub.
Yeah.
And, so she'd go in and she'd bring the girls out. She said, okay, you know, the money. And they give her it once what I got. She says, wait a minute. Let them play the tape, see? And she come back out and she says, well, you're lying about 20, and what about the tip? They couldn't lie about the money. So, well, anyhow, that's how she knew, naturally, her Weinstein. So now, when they lost their license, and there's no way they're going to get another license. In that time, I think it still is like that. It's so many years before you get another
right.
License on the premises. So Jerry comes up with the idea, a key club. Now she needs the white tool. So I was top, pretty well up there then. And so she came to me and said, Andy, do you think you could pull in your group? And she said, I'll pull mine. And I said, no problem. And then we talked about the room. And she says, well, certain nights my girls work, and if you have your girls, which I did, I'd have that, and I would be bang. And we had the guys in there, whatever, and we were making our money. And Weinstein, he was the property owner,
right.
And everything that was taken in was split. And there was a lot of money taken out.
Okay.
So the night that we were raided, which was bound to happen, but goddamn, I don't know how we did it as long as we did. We were open 2 months, a nightclub, with a sign out.
Yeah,
and operated, and had a good little business there. On how we got away as long as we did. And we got, it was bound to happen, got raided, but Jerry was conveniently out of town that night. I never quite picked that one down, but it didn't matter. I still think she knew something. But then again, I said, no, she couldn't have, because Irv wouldn't have got caught in it either. And he did get mm-hmm. him and I and the waiter and the waitress over there. Little Joe. You know, remember Little Joe? She was Jerry's side chick, little short butch.
Black?
Yeah.
Built with.
And it was Little Joe, her, myself, a gay waiter, Paul. Yeah, that was it. We got it. We went to jail. We spent the night in jail. That was all. And it was the early morning when they raided us anyhow, so it was only a matter of a few hours.
Yeah.
And we got out and got Irv got his lawyer, told him what we had. And we talked. It was no problem. Everybody was selling alcohol and all the Jesus under Christ. Prostitution.
Okay.
Name it. Nothing.
Wait.
Boy, you think about it now. Shudder, Christ, we could have been shot. They could have killed
sure.
Us. Because, you know, that night, as a matter of fact, that night, I remember it very, very plain. It was Kennedy. I still hate the bastard. Kenneth P. Kennedy.
Yeah.
I think he's still in vice squad. And it was him and his raiders sitting in there.
Yeah.
And so they were just throwing it, you know, everybody out. You know, there was a lot of people in there. And they get them all out. So they didn't bother the patrons, did you?
Right.
So now they had me just sitting right there at the door. Joel and Paul were just sitting there because we were the ones who were going. So now, Mr. Kennedy, I'll never forget. He says, okay. He says, let's go. He says, out to the car. So I get up and I walk out the door. And I turn around. He's not, you know, he's not there. And I thought, well, great, I can make it. You know, I look around. I don't see nothing. I see nobody. No cops are outside. They're all in. So I just walked down to the door. Right there was the edge of the building. I said, I can get around that corner. They'll never catch me. I headed right for the corner. And just before I hit that corner, one of the girls had come out. You know, they were putting the patrons out. Must have been getting in her car or whatever. And she yells, Andy, don't run. Don't run. And I look. And there's two cops standing right across the street with guns. They would have shot me. With guns.
Well,
in other words, Kennedy had me out. Do you see what I mean?
He
let me out
sure.
to run. I'll never forget. I still hate that bastard to me. Don't run, and I just looked, I saw, oh Christ, every gun's drawn.
Because
they're handling some deadly shit there.
So your relationship with Jerry began your relationships in the black community, or did they start before you met Jerry?
Well, I had known Jerry before that. I used to go down, she used to work at Mandy's. We used to go down there because, like I said, you could go in those bars, because they had colored people didn't bother you. They didn't bother you if you were gay. Where you go up to, oh Christ, you couldn't walk in our bar like that.
Right.
But down there, we go to floor shows. That's how you really, when you went out and wanted to go to a nice place and catch a show, it was with the colored people. Because you weren't bothered.
So is that the late 50s?
Yes, oh, it was in there.
Little Harlem?
Yeah. Harlem. There was two of them there. Harlem was the other one.
The blue one was good too.
There's the clover.
The lucky clover.
Lucky clover.
Yeah.
Harlem. Okay, there was another one too. Then we stood down William to Mandy. Still there all the time. Jerry was working there. Still out there a lot of fun.
So you got to hang out at those bars and you met women that you liked or that you wanted to sleep with all the time?
Sure.
What was it like the first time you slept with a woman who wasn't smart?
It was, as far as the affair, that was all right. I was constantly thinking, what are people going to say about me?
Uh-huh.
And here I was before, I don't give a shit. I was, you know, so when I couldn't turn around and be a hypocrite and be ashamed to be seen with her.
Yeah. Sure, people have done that to you.
For sure. And so I thought, fuck it. Walk with me. That was it. Pretty soon, when the other one seen us, hey, Andy, hey, whatever, we're with it. Oh, that must be the end thing. Then it's an awful.
Uh-huh.
You know, because we were, like I say, very top and stuff.
Yeah.
But we did well, and we walked, and then everyone, they're doing like it's a big deal. What you want?
Uh-huh.
And they wanted to, you know. That's how now today it's not a thing. Just as natural as like the whole gay life itself right now. Just like they used to frown on mixed marriages. Not anymore. See? Marriage is a funny thing now. You don't even get married.
Right. What did the black gay kids have to say about your hanging out with black women?
Well, we'd run into a problem if it was a good hooker and then we were taken over. Because most of your gay, I gotta say 95%, no, I even say 99% of the black gay people, butches or femmes, were hookers. All of them turned tricks. And, like with them, like I say, they just live, they didn't like, they got the butch and everything, like Jerry. I think Jerry's turned tricks. Because that's, you know, hey, it was nothing.
Right.
And But if you go in there and you've taken a few of their girls, you have to kind of watch that. They get pissed. So you had to be kind of careful. There was that line. You had to be sort of careful.
Well, it's partly taking their livelihood.
Sure. Good morning. Sure. And then if you really fell for the girl, she fell for you, well, then she would naturally have to give up that hooking business and turning tricks. First of all, I wouldn't want mine to do that if I cared for her.
Oh, is that true?
I wouldn't want that. If I really cared for her,
so you've never let a woman that you were really in love with hustle?
No, definitely not.
If it was just a casual affair, she could do it.
Yeah, I didn't give a shit. No, I didn't care. I was just used to say, hey, I don't want sloppy seconds. You should take care of yourself.
Some people think differently about
everything.
Depends on the circumstances.
Black people, right? Everyone should be like black people. Their way of thinking about life. I'm talking about the lower place. I'm not.
Some of the black women that we've interviewed have said that when they came into white bars, that the butches sometimes would get really uptight because they felt that the black butches would steal their women away.
Well, like I just said, they always had money. And so when they would come around, they actually were worried because they had money. We didn't.
They also had reputations for being really super lovers.
Supposedly.
Yeah, I mean, it was, who knows whether it was mythology or not.
Yeah, right.
But that was the reputation.
But they had the money. Us, we weren't into this pimping and shit. Yeah, we were really square. Yeah, we really were.
Well, I knew women who were hustling. I knew butches, white butches that were hustling.
Sure.
Remember Sherry?
Yeah, well.
And Diane.
Yeah.
So that doesn't seem too square, unless it was cheap.
No, it wasn't very many, though. I mean, they weren't. Let's look at it this way. They weren't ones that were admired either.
It's true.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Yeah. You know, speaking of admiration, you said things like you feel resentful now because it's so easy for people and you don't want to hear about their successes. And yet you also said that, like, you and Pat were real leaders in your crowd. And people followed your example in a lot of ways. That must have given you a sense of pride and accomplishments.
It did. Just like you go around like these people now. If I go out now, I just go out the way I am. So, I mean, this is me. And they go, wow, you know, they look at you like you're a piece of shit. What are you, a t-shirt, you know, nice clothes. You know, I mean, that's how they do this.
Now?
I'd smack them in the mouth. There's no way I can go around those bars. But if they look at me funny, I'm still that way. I'm not enraged.
So you feel that they look at you like you're outdated?
The lower class.
Lower class. Because there's a lot of women that I know that are very masculine looking.
That aren't gay. That aren't gay.
Yeah, and also that are.
That are gay, yeah.
And a lot that are out at the bars that are masculine looking.
Well, maybe it doesn't affect them that way. It bothers me. It bothers me a lot.
I knew when I first came into the community who you were, who Pat was. I knew that you were the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I knew that you were important. And I didn't know why, but I just knew that if you wanted to know anything, that you guys were the ones that would know.
At least with Elmhaven, yeah, I got beautiful memories. I've got those.
It was fun being the baby in the community for a while. When I first came out, I loved it. Everybody wanted to take care of me. They don't anymore.
I didn't take care of them.
Yeah. That's a journey.
It is.
But when you came out, did you ever look to other people for, I mean, who was the leadership when you came out? Were there older women in the community that you looked to?
No. There wasn't any. I went to the gay places that I knew of, but there was an older crowd, but like that were way before myself. That's the part you're looking for. But they were like I am now, like Pat and I would be now. That's what they were then. They stayed in their little group. They had their little group, their clique.
I remember Arlene.
Yeah.
R.
Yeah, she's working with the adopt a pet thing.
Is she really?
Yeah, she's sober, hasn't touched a drop in an hour.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, she talks with a nut.
That's great. I haven't seen her in years. And then there were the women who were older who used to come down all dressed up.
Yeah. Well, I remember dressing up myself a couple times. Hysterical.
You mean dressing up femme?
As a woman, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What was that like?
What?
What was that like?
What was that like?
What, first of all, what inspired you to ever do it?
I think the first time it was a dare. And I think the second time, there's only a few, I know that I can name it. The second time was Mother's Day. And there was this guy who used to hang around the bars, and he just, I think he got his rocks just talking about what the gay people do, and he had all kinds of money. And if he could get fixed up, that was okay too. But he just to be with the gay people, he loved it, you know, we'd take them what we could. And so Mother's Day was approaching, and I didn't have any money, as usual. And I wanted to take my mother out. And so I told this guy, his name was Tommy. And I said, so I'm going to take my mother out. I said, I want some money. And he said, you can take your mother any place you want to go. I said, I'll take both of you. But he says, you got to dress up. So for mother, I would do anything. So I did. So that was really funny. So we went to a lot of restaurants, a nice dinner, you know, and the evening at different bars. We had a real good time. Took my mother home, and we'd had a few drinks. And I was like, when they had the nerve to do it. And we went down to Mary Prayer. So now we get in there, and like I said, I had to be high. And so eventually the joke started, and that pissed me off, you know, so I turned around and knocked the shit right out of this Tommy. Threw him on the floor, hit him with bar stools.
Oh, God.
For making, you know, how did I get into this position?
You know? Yeah, you made me do it.
Oh, yeah, I'll never forget that.
But I guess it was Elaine.
Elaine went with this guy for a while.
Oh, because she told us about a couple of times when the butches all got together and decided to all go and get dressed up and go out dancing at the bars with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And how everybody would go home and get into really sleazy black dresses. And,
I had one of the mine was a slits up the side.
Yeah.
It looked like it was sort of leopard print, you know.
Great.
Trying to walk in high heels, you've got to be kidding.
Outside of that, anybody I knew only had court clothes. Padded court clothes.
I didn't have any, apparently.
Court clothes. She had this horrible gray skirt and a sweater that she kept in her closet. She showed it to me once. Those were court clothes.
That was the one I could say great advantage of being gay was you beat the court. I beat them every charge every time I beat it because they couldn't identify the guy.
Oh, sure.
And there I was.
And your court clothes. Borrowed.
Yes, stood right up. I said, yes, I am, Your Honor. Dismissed. Yeah. That was the only advantage I can say about that. Beat all of my cases.
What were the cases mostly for?
Assault. Naturally. And one was on a police officer.
Uh-huh.
And I beat that one.
The officer couldn't identify you?
He could, but they didn't believe I did it to him. They didn't think I could do it. He was in there, his head was all wrapped up, he had a concussion, broken nose, I was a 6-footer. And there I am. Looking as pathetic as I could. And I remember the judge, he says, you did that. The cop hit me in court, right? And there he is looking like a complete asshole. The judge says, why he couldn't weigh 100 pounds soaking wet, he said to me. I said, 98. He said, I don't believe you did this and that. No. He says, I have to throw this out. Cop's name was Donovan. Dick Donovan. He got killed later on the first ward. Kicked the shit out of him down there. Beat his head on a curb.
He was coming out looking for
the he was a troublemaker. And
yeah.
that happened in the Mardi Gras. Uh-huh. Then I got his ass.
And he called a few of them like that.
I always say, swing, don't stop, because don't give him a chance. Don't give him a chance. He'll kick the shit out of you.
I don't remember too many raids in the bars until maybe the 60s.
Raids?
Yeah, real bar raids. People are always saying, oh, maybe the bars got raided, you know. What about the bars getting raided? And I don't remember. Do you?
No. Mm-mm. They might,
yeah.
No, it wasn't. There wasn't a raid. It might be if the cops or whatever were getting in on the owner, like, because they hated, you know, like I say, we never had a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did find one, like say the Marigot, whatever. Now we're happy. We don't care if it's sleazy. That we had no choice anyhow.
Yeah.
But we said, at least we got the place. So now when the cops go around, they couldn't be content. We were in one place. They didn't have to worry about us. You know. But they'd see us having a good time. And they see the girls, pretty girls, and they were with us. Then they go in and threaten the owner, get them out of a closure. And that's how it was. And he'd say, well, stay out, go away. He says, oh, wait three, four weeks, then come back until the heat's off.
Yeah.
And that happened a lot. Everything.
You would go to the Mardi Gras and the Chesterfield and being closed off. And the bar that was going at the same time that we do know about is the Carousel.
Yeah.
Did you go there too?
Mm-hmm.
Was it different from the other bars?
Yeah, it was a little better. It was a better bar. And it was all gay, I would say. It wasn't like the ones downtown, you know, like the...
They weren't really all gay, were they? There were hostels.
There was everything. There was everything.
If there was a gay bar like the Carousel or whatever, and Bingo's was predominantly gay.
Mm-hmm.
Why did lesbians go to places like the Chesterfield? Why did you bother if there were gay bars that you could go to that was really sort of gay space?
Well, because if we didn't have any money. Now, if you went to the Carousel, you had to buy your drinks.
Uh-huh.
There was no one there to hustle a drink from. So a lot of times we'd be in the Carousel. Maybe we got a couple dollars, so we'd go in there and we have a good time because we're getting low. You know, we look at our money, and if you have three or four of us, well, let's go down to the Chesterfield, see what we can hustle up. That's where we go down.
That's
perfectly
reasonable.
Make our money, go back to the Carousel.
Yeah.
Or if we had a girl hustling, we go down to see if she's all right.
Pick up $20.
Yes, back to the Carousel. That was the reason for that. Because they got like the Carousel at that time. Yeah, you could make any money there.
Right.
All you could do is spend money. You could make money.
Right.
Yeah. I got fired from there, no.
Did you? For what?
Oh, I don't know. I'll call the charges.
Fighting?
Oh, yeah. It was Jerry was working there. Yeah, she worked there. I punched her out, so that didn't go over too good. Oh, yeah, so I was barred. That really pissed me off. Because when the Canadians and all that would come over, they'd go there, because they had their little money, so they'd go in there, and they'd say, I want to be in there, too, because the girls would be there. I got really mad about that. Who the hell was that? Was it Randy? I think it was Randy. I think it was. We're down Chester, and I'm pissed off. I says, I'm going up to that carousel. And I already had a plan. It was Randy. So, we go up to the carousel. I says, pull in the driveway. There was a driveway right beside the bar. So she pulled in there, and I got out of the car, and I went to the back of the carousel where these windows and the screens on was where the kitchen was. So I ripped the screen off the window, opened the window, and I get in. I'm in the kitchen. And of course, out of the kitchen is the back room. You know, the bar actually is to the front. So I went in the kitchen, and I'm looking around the big cooler. So I opened up the cooler. So I'm looking in there. There's all these cream pies and butter and all this shit. So I'm going in here, you know, loading the car up with the butter and cream pies. So now she's got this, come on, Andy. You know, she's a chicken. She's got out there. Get out. I says, wait a minute. I seen these big trays of chicken, all cooked. It must have been for some party or something. I don't know. So I said, I'll be right with you. So I get out one of these trays, and there's towels there. Put towel in my arm, take the tray, and I go back home from the kitchen. And I'm like, hi, I'm having a good time. And nobody really knows that I'm barred, you know, but Andy says that they got everything ready, you know, chicken tonight. Going around giving all sounds to all the kids in the back room. And about two trays of chicken I handed out. You know, of course, I didn't go to the front or anything. Somebody had to go out to the front. You know, and they were eating chicken. Where'd you get that chicken? You know, well, Andy's back there was about what? You know, they called that goddamn Andy. I dove out the back room. And I was barred for good then. There was no way of ever getting back in there.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And Andy says, but I got so sick of those goddamn cream pies. It was better than starving, you know. We all waited there.
Sounds like there was some real good times.
Oh, yeah. I could sit and reminisce about those times.
Let's see where we are on the tape.
While we're doing this, what we've done is gotten kind of an overview with some interesting stories in it. Mm-hmm. But there are some specific topics
that you want. Yeah.
That I definitely want. I may not even know what those topics are until I listen to this tape.
So you can always do more. You can't get everything in one shot.
Right, I know.
Because now I'll go home and I'll think of something.
Right, so mm-hmm. Yeah, keep write notes to yourself or things like that you want to talk about. I'm interested in more information about black and white relations in the community, about sex, and how it's changed for people, about clothing and how that's changed for people, things like that. So let's try one of them at least. And I know, one of the things you talked about was when you were running with the crowd with Pat and Elaine, you said there was your crowd, and then there were some people that you really were not interested in running with, and then there was a group of people who were sissies who would hide in the bathroom, who were afraid to be seen or whatever. Those people are people that you would still say were butches. Also, I guess what I'm trying to get to is,
had they made their role, selected their role?
Had they selected their role, and when did the character of the Kai Kai person come into the community? Was it always around?
You've used that before, this Kai Kai. What the hell is that? I'm not familiar with
that. That's a word you don't use.
I don't know.
Okay. Apparently it was a word that was used, as far as I knew, at least into in the 50s and the 60s. And it meant somebody who didn't know whether they were a butch or a femme.
Mm-hmm.
It was a derogatory term, it was a negative term, for people who were on the fence. Now, a generation before that, there were women who were referred to as lavender butches. They were sort of femmy butches.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't bad to be a lavender butch. That, mm-hmm. It wasn't looked down on.
No.
but a generation afterwards, to be somebody who was sort of butchy, but who, well, essentially what they said was she rolled over in bed. Mm-hmm. She didn't know what she was. You know, she'd go with anybody. You didn't know who she was going to be with next.
Whoever attracted her.
Now, in the 40s, it was okay to be that way. As a matter of fact, some people said you got a lot more girlfriends that way because you had a wider choice. But by the 50s and early 60s, it was real bad to be that way, to not make a choice. I know when I came out, you were one or the other, or else you were weird. Now, I knew some women who were kaka, and I would never go out with them. I thought they were pretty butchy, but I wouldn't go out with them. I wouldn't touch them, because they didn't know what they were, and I wanted a butch. I still feel that way.
Times haven't changed.
That was all. What about women who were not clear about what role they were? Did you know anybody?
Did I know anyone that was like that?
Yeah.
I can't say I stayed clear from them because I was with a couple of them sexually when they were fat.
I see.
But after I'd been with them, and then next time I'd see them, they were butch. Oh shit, you know, and sometimes they even come out dressed better than I was. So that really pissed me off. Cause
no, I think there's a difference between.
I didn't want anyone to think that the way it was is I wouldn't want my friends, the group that I was with, or anyone coming out for that matter, or a new person, anybody, to think that I was rolling over and
right.
To be with a person that was like that, they would naturally assume that I was too. And I didn't ever want to get that image.
No. What was bad about that image? What was so wrong about it? I know it was bad. I was there too. I know it was bad. But what was it that was bad?
Well, I don't know how the hell I explain it, but it'd be like. Or you be with, you say you're with them and you're showing this person probably some emotion, why you care, you know, whatever. And they're getting, they get your defense down more or less. You know, they know something about you or whatever. And then they turn around and they switch roles. And they're afraid of being betrayed.
I guess that's how I feel. Is that different from, like, let's say, some women who we know are butches now that we've talked to who came out femme? They came out femme and they learned.
Most of them are.
How to be butches.
Yeah.
And then they became butch and stayed butch all the rest of their lives. But in their first relationship, they were femme. Because
mm-hmm.
they didn't know what to do.
What they were.
Now, is that a different situation
yeah.
from these women?
Yeah. Because they really didn't know. I mean, they were being what they thought they were. I mean, they didn't know. I mean, so they were just doing what they felt was a natural thing to do. And then after were in it a while and had the affair, they discovered that really they'd rather be more aggressive.
I see.
And so then they would become what they wanted to be.
So that was legitimate.
Sure.
But this was not legitimate.
No.
This was like cheating.
Mm-hmm. And then they, especially when they come back and take the girl you're with away.
Uh-huh.
You know? Now, I've had a couple, and this is true, I'm sure all the people, I've had, been with a girl, and maybe done something or whatever. Well, anyhow, we split up. Because I like somebody else, say. I'll be with someone else, and she'll turn butch and come back and take that girlfriend. I could kill you. I mean, there goes the one you're with, taking the one you love, you know. Oh,
and she's learned all your techniques
right.
because she's received
got the whole
it.
Shot.
Uh-huh.
Your whole plan of action. Yeah. And so, she can't, the only way she can get at you is that way, and it usually works.
That's amazing.
You sit there and then you're alone. Here you had two, and now you're alone. And they're together.
Uh-huh.
that happened to me.
How do you find out that somebody's like that? Only after it's over?
Well, if it's their first time. Their first, you know, then you know, and then the word spreads. Or people see it, you know, like the other people say, oh, well, she what used to be, now she, well, then okay. But if you're one that flips back and forth, there's not many. I mean, if they meet someone else, it's the same way. Well, then they can get along. But I couldn't, or Pat couldn't. Pat wouldn't be the type to.
Right.
I wouldn't. Jan wouldn't. Randy wouldn't.
You all need real femmes. And those women. See, the women that I saw that were Kai Kai or, you know, neither one, I saw and related to as butches. I thought they were butches who were shaky about being butches. Now, you might see them as femmes who were shaky as being femmes,
mm-hmm.
but they were butchier than me. So I thought they were butches who were screwed up. And I wouldn't touch them. I certainly wouldn't let them touch me. I didn't think they'd know what to do. Because they weren't strong enough for me. They needed women who were really powerful.
That's it. Now you're the type, you're looking for a masculine image. They're strong. That's what
absolutely.
Right. Okay.
And I'm a loudmouth, so I've got to have somebody who's really a tough guy.
Yeah.
You know, to put me in my place. And that's what I like. You know, I don't want anybody to beat me up, but some people say, you know, you're the girl.
Yeah.
I like that.
Sit.
I really
sit.
Like that. It's funny. And I also don't know when that neither nor kind of person, that straddling the fence person, disappeared from the community, because now there's so many people that are like that, that there's no value placed on it. Nobody says this is bad or good, it's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not very simple to that. It's not unique to be gay. No. It isn't unique. It's no different than the guy next door. So.
How do you feel about that?
All right.
I thought it was exciting to be unique, to be different.
I liked it to a point, but when it got to like the part, I said the bitterness when it interfered with my life, with other jobs, positions. I mean, now I don't know. I'm resigned to what I have left in my life. It's too late to start a career. Some people say it isn't, but no, I don't. I feel like I've been denying a lot of things. I really feel it tonight.
Okay.
I'm resentful and I'm bitter about it. Very bitter. So now I go out and no one looks at me today. Not really, you know. And I think, I couldn't have been like this 20 years ago.
Or people care less.
First there was cowboys and Indians. Right?
Yeah.
And it's all gonna start somewhere.
I guess.
And end somewhere. And you wonder now, like, what's left? What's next? is there anything more that's gonna be? Is it gonna be a unique thing now? I can't think of anything in the world that's unique right now. Can you?
That much?
No, there isn't.
When you were fighting and brawling and getting loaded, hitting people with bar stools and all of that, did you have a sense of striking out for any purpose other than out of anger? Like that you were making?
Yeah, I was trying to prove and show. Because that's what they're gonna, it came down to that, well, if you won't, you're gonna be, like, if you're gonna be be here and be what you are. I'll knock the shit out of you. You think you're, you know, tough. Let's see how tough you are. I'll show you how tough I am. Well, that's what you had to be.
Uh-huh.
And I would kill in those days. I would kill.
What about those places? It seems like you were showing people what those places were, your space, just as much as anybody else's space.
Mm-hmm.
And that you could hold your own there.
You could.
In a way, it was an early form of gay liberation in itself, mm-hmm. All that fight.
It started there. Rebellion right there.
Did you have that sense then, or do you only have that sense now looking back at it?
How's that?
Do you remember having any awareness of that then?
Of being
part of a rebellious group of people?
No. Because at that time, no, I never thought that it ever would be. I just figure, well, this is the way it is, and if I'm going to be this way, I'm just going to roll with the punches.
Right, I'm going to have to throw some of those punches myself to survive.
And like you always say, well, why the dive bars and all that shit? Well, most of the bars were ones that already received their notice that they were going to be closed in 6 months or whatever, so they made the money that they could, then they didn't give a shit who they served.
Yeah.
So we'd have a bar. It was about the one time. That's why they never lasted long, because there was people on their way out anyhow. You like to go to a nice place as hell. Everybody wants to go and have a nice time. But you couldn't. They wouldn't let you in. They wouldn't serve you anymore. So all you had then was in the bad neighborhoods. And it was, I think, not just because you were gay, but if you were just there, you could expect some trouble. That was the type of place it was. It was locality. It was a, I mean, naturally, gays had at it more, because they didn't, you know, there's no reason sometimes to start on us, but they were, just because we were gay.
Yeah. Did black people ever come into those bars, Chesterfield, Vertigrad?
Straights or gay?
Gay.
Not really. One maybe here and there would drop in because they knew somebody and say hi or something.
Uh-huh.
No.
So it wasn't until maybe the 60s.
Yeah.
That groups of black kids would come.
Yeah. And then that wasn't to those places. Then it was when we used to go to the Midtown.
I think you're right. I think it was Randy that I saw them. And she was the first person I ever fell in love with.
Mm-hmm. Randy was.
Because I saw her behind the bar.
She is good looking.
Yeah. She was gorgeous. I thought I'd die.
And Diane Hart.
Oh, she's beautiful. But Diane... I wasn't, after about three sentences, I knew I wouldn't be interested in her because she was, but Randy was smart.
Yeah.
And Randy, I thought, was just, I mean, I saw stars when I saw Randy.
Gorgeous. She still has that dimple and
she's adorable.
Still has that way about her. She just bubbles.
Right.
You know?
she's terribly sweet.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, I was a baby, you know, I didn't know, you know, what was sweet.
She still giggles.
I know
that
now.
Something in me was, she still giggled, like, she still has that.
She's really darling. We'll have to get back. We have one interview from when our classes did interviews 3.5 years ago with her. It's very short, and I have to go back and re-interview her about a lot of stuff. She was around for years. She starts the early 50s.
Who's that, Randy?
Yeah, I think so.
Later.
So. Is she later?
Late 50s, because we were in the Mardi Gras. That's where she came out. And she'd come up and ask us, I'm Butch now. What do I do to be Butch?
Uh-huh.
Now, what do I, you know, this and that. And we got a kick, because you couldn't get mad at her.
What'd you tell her?
We told her how to act.
What'd you say?
Well, you're the boss, you know, you treat your girl like this, and this and that. Oh, anything I can do? Well, So who does she end up with? One of the hookers that fell madly in love.
Wasn't it Pat's sister?